You're listening to What's Up with Wendy.
I think Fight Song might be my new song for my show.
Ooh, all right.
How's that?
I hear you. Okay, Wendy, I love it.
This show is brought to you in part by Soul, CBD-infused water. Got Soul? And by Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Get lash extensions worth falling in love with. My heart is literally skipping a beat. I am a huge fan. Welcome to my show, Paul Reiser.
Wow, thank you. That is so nice.
I am thrilled to welcome back to my show, Barbara Corcoran.
Welcome and congratulations, Wendy. Having a national show now. I'm very proud of you. Well done. You took a little thing and made a big, big thing.
Michael Bolton.
Hello. Is this...
This is Wendy, yes.
Hi, Wendy. I've reached the real one. Okay.
The real thing. Welcome back to my show, the beautiful Maria Menounos.
I was excited when I saw you on the lineup. I'm like, yes, Wendy, you're always so bright and happy, and you are a great interviewer, so thank you so much.
Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Can your son play, Wendy? How big is he?
The beautiful Vanessa Williams.
I know you come from a very strong line of women.
Exactly right.
Your mom was a force to be reckoned with.
You must have read my book. Both my parents helped me become the person that I am.
Out of no other first guest to welcome back 2020 than my special guest today. She came into my life 5 years ago. I'll never forget the day, December 14th, 2015. I was boarding a plane to Miami because my beloved father was going to have surgery to remove his bladder. Little did I know, she would not only heal my father after his surgery, but she would become a dear friend to me. She is Teresa Caputo, the Long Island Medium's teacher and mentor. She has been blessed with the extraordinary ability to heal others by using the power of divine energy. I am beyond grateful to welcome back to my show to share her gifts with us and her story and her new book, which is just amazing, The Gifts Beneath Your Anxiety, Simple Spiritual Tools to Find Peace, Awaken the Power Within, and heal your life. Welcome, Pat Longo.
Hello, Wendy. It's so nice to be back.
Just being with you in this room is the best gift ever.
Oh, thank you.
I can't believe it's been 5 years. And
I can't either. I looked at it on my email. I looked at the date and I said, oh, my Lord, it's been that long already.
And then I lost my father in November.
Yes.
And you came back into my life again. There's reasons for all of this.
Absolutely. No coincidence.
So I dedicate this show to him. So tell us, what is a spiritual healer and teacher?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I know. As a spiritual healer, I'm going to say it's a gift that I received somewhere in the 25-year-ago vicinity. And when I say gift, I went to a class in metaphysics. Paranormal. I didn't know what I was going to, but I knew there was more. I always felt there was more. And the class did things like tarot cards or angels or UFOs, anything. It was a 10-week class. Anything that you didn't understand or couldn't figure out, that's what we stepped into. So it was meditation that actually began opening up the door to my gift. She would meditate us every week. And by week number three, my hands were burning hot. And I didn't know it was connected to class. I really didn't. I said it to my husband that day. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. My hands feel like hot pokers. I can't get them cooled down. Maybe it's menopause. I laughed about it. I said, I thought it was supposed to be hot flash. It's not hot hands. And the following week in class, the teacher had me put my hand on somebody that was in pain from an old car accident. She had a lot of soft tissue damage. It was raining outside. It was... A lot of people, when they get injuries like that, mm-hmm. they ache. So I put my hand on her. I really didn't want to because I had no idea what I was doing or why she wanted me to do it.
Right.
And I put my hand on her thigh, and 2 minutes, her pain was gone. So it was kind of like a spin for me. What happened? Why me? Where is this coming from? And I tried to search it out, look it up in the library. I couldn't find anything. New Age sections weren't around at that point. And I did find a book in a bookstore. And I think it was called Healing Hands. It's a long time. And I lost the book. I gave it out to somebody and didn't see it again. And it helped me understand that I was channeling energy, that energy was coming through me and out my hands into the person in front of me. In the beginning, it was a little tricky because I would take on the pain. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, I practiced quietly on my siblings, and they didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
Neither did I. And but I would get rid of a stiff neck, and I'd get it. And then a migraine, and I'd get it. So I went home, and I had a little talk with God, and I said, okay, I'm ready to do this. I'm okay. I surrender if you want me to do this, but I can't be walking around with everybody's pain and illness. That's
I
not
can't imagine.
Fly. And all my young life, I was always sick. And I come from six children. I was always sicker than them. If I got what they got, and then I got something else. So I was constantly ill. I had asthma. I had eczema, psoriasis. I had giant hives. I had migraines, sinusitis, pneumonia six times. It was crazy. I was sick and got psoriatic arthritis. By 35, I really did think I was going to be in a wheelchair because the pain was getting so bad on the right side of my body, joint for joint.
Wow.
And when I became a healer, everything healed. So you look at me today. I'm 70 years old.
You would never know.
I made 70 in December, and I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 35. So
sick as a child, then you went through your married, children, going through life. You were the PTA, the Cub Scouts, you were everything. But you knew something was missing somehow.
100%. I always felt there was more. I went to Catholic school. Things didn't gel with me. And I started seeing psychics when I was 25, right after my twins were born, my last children. And I would go once a year and go to a psychic fair. I'd pick out two names. And I never really found anybody that jumped out at me. But anybody that was on track always called me a healer. They thought I was in the medical profession. They thought I was a nurse. I was this. I was that. But they'd see the medical sign around me. And I thought they were nuts, honestly.
Right.
That was the truth. And because this didn't happen for quite a while after that. But I was running around like crazy. I was on the PTA. I typed the newsletter for the PTA every month. I did all the artwork. I did all kinds of crazy stuff. And then the Civic Association and the Cub Scout. I was the den mother. I was the religion teacher. I was the mom in charge of soccer. And I drove everybody to school. My brother called me the Blue Flash because I would just fly down his block and never stop because I was always on the move. And my life is still the same way. It's just different.
Yes.
But I quit it all. I stopped. I said, I have to stop. I need to honor myself. I don't know where I begin or where I end. And I finished my commitments, and then I backed out of all those things. And I joined a tap dancing class and a bowling league, and I had a lot of fun.
So fun.
But that's – I remember my daughter was a dance teacher, and she was always on stage. And I was watching the – recital one day, and I poked my sister. There were some adult women up there, and I said, you know, we could do this. And she looked at me. I said, we could do this. So I started to dance with the adults, and I think I was somewhere in my 30s, and I had so much fun. I got a 9-year trophy. I quit before the 10th year. I felt like I was the Pillsbury Doughboy in Sparkle. So
but you started doing things for yourself.
Yes. And that's when my gifts opened up. That's when this whole new world just began to open for me. So it's really important to honor yourself and to not get caught up in so many other things in life that you don't, that you forget about you.
You have taught me that, and I'm still trying to get there to that place. Tell us about your connection with Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. You've known her your entire life.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, let's see. Teresa was filled with anxiety. And again, I knew her parents when they were dating. I knew her grandparents. They were friends of my parents. And her brother and my son are best friends. So I'd always seen her, but I did not know that she had anxiety. And I had gone to a candle party at her home, at her mom's home. And I didn't want to go. It was Memorial Day weekend. I was planting flowers. I was so tired. My back hurt. And the phone rang. And it was her mom. And when people call you when you're supposed to be at their party, you haven't responded, you figure they're down bodies. They need people to come. So I looked at my daughter. I said, you want to come with me? So I went. And I said, there has to be a reason that I'm going. And when I got there, there were 25 people there. And I'm like, why did she call me? But that was the beginning. It was very interesting. I did a healing on Teresa because she was having something going on. I don't know. It could have been an ovary. I don't know. And I did a healing on her, and 3 weeks later, she called me back, and she said, my husband wants to know if you want to do another healing on me. And I said, why? And she said, because I'm just so calm. He said, you need more. And so we laughed about it. I said, no, Teresa, you don't have to come back. So time went by. Her mother bowled with me. So I pulled in the driveway one night to drop her mom off. And Teresa came and knocked on the window. She said, Mrs. Longo, are you still doing those classes? And I said, yes. And she said, you want to come? And she said, yeah, I think I want to come. So something funny happened. She came, but she brought a friend, a cousin.
Okay.
And it took Teresa 3 weeks to get to my class because, and we're 2 miles away from each other, and she couldn't drive in the rain. And every Wednesday night, it rained. So the first week she called and say, I can't come. I can't get in the car. Second week, same thing. Third week, she said, I'm coming. She said, I've been practicing going up and down the block.
Oh, God.
All day. So she really had extreme anxiety in many, many different levels. And she came to class. And then she did not come back for a year because her daughter's gym schedule changed. She was in gymnastics. And it turned out to be that night. And at that time, I was only teaching on one night a week. And a year later, she came back, and within 2 weeks, her gifts opened wide. Very similar to what happened to me. 2 weeks, and she didn't know where it came from. She didn't know what hit her. She argued with me at the front door, and she said, it's because I was sitting in that medium seat, she said, because the girl who told her this was going to happen really fast was out that night. So she sat where she sat.
Oh,
she,
wow.
She insisted it had to be that. But slowly but surely, everything, it came so rapidly for her. And then I had to work on the anxiety. Now, I did not have the tools for anxiety that I have today when she was started my class. I did that all through healing and past life regression. I put her under hypnosis, and we were working on the anxiety in lifetimes that were very traumatic. And I even did it on air with her at one point in time. But she calmed down. Now look at her. I mean, she couldn't fly in a plane. She couldn't go in an elevator. She couldn't drive in the rain. She wouldn't eat in a restaurant.
Amazing.
And now she's probably in the back of a limo every day.
flying everywhere.
She flew over Niagara Falls in a helicopter, which I would never do. And I have no fear, but that I'm not a chance. So she does all these things. I remember she was on the 28th floor. It was the first time she was on the 28th floor in a hotel. And she called me up to let me know that, you know, she was on the 28th floor. So she used to walk up and when she first started, yes, all of this, but a lot of offices in Manhattan, you can only walk so far.
Right.
You might walk 4 floors and then you've got to get in an elevator.
Right,
so
right.
We had a lot of work to do.
And now look at her. It's
and now
amazing.
Look at her.
So the connection between anxiety and spirit.
Well, for Teresa, and again, this is a funny story, and I don't know if I put it in the book, but we were on our way to a group. It was a beauty parlor. One of the other mediums had said, I can't do this anymore, and do you think you have anybody for it? So I took two girls, and she fought me tooth and nail. And I mean nail, because her nails went right in my arm on the parkway, and I had to pull off. And she was really nervous about it. And I said, don't worry, it's fine, you're going to do fine. I pulled over to a gas station, I said, breathe, we're not far. And she said to me, whatever you do, don't give me any men. I said, how many men? There's not going to be any men in a beauty parlor. Where are they going to come from? Just don't, whatever you do, don't give me any men. I don't know whether she must have had a feeling. And of course, we get there, and we're in the back, and they're sending people in, and there's two girls, and they're each taking somebody. Somebody sits down. They start to read. Well, the one girl wasn't finished, and the first man came through the door.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I had to give him to her.
Right.
And, you know, she gave me a look, but she did her job. And then there was another man. He came in. Same thing happened. He had to go to her because the other girl wasn't finished with hers. And when we came out of the building, this time she put her hand on my arm, not her nails. And she said to me, I feel whole for the first time in my life. Because
wow,
reading and allowing it all to come through stopped the anxiety. The anxiety is spirit related. It's all connected. You know, you, me, we're in a room together.
Right.
With us, we each have at least one guide, spiritual guide. We have a team of angels. Everybody does. It's a universal team. And then we have loved ones on the other side. So figure how many energies are really in a room with us right now. Let's say, just say there's 12, maybe more. I'm older. I have a lot of people on the other side. I have many guides, not just one, but for the sake of numbers. So now take that to the movie theater and multiply.
Oh, my.
Think about how much energy is on the street in a city or a concert. What is it? The mall at Christmas time, you know, and everybody's frenetic, mm-hmm. besides which everybody's under stress and racing around. There's a lot of energy out there, and we walk through it every day. So if you happen to be particularly anxious or sensitive, very highly sensitive, let's say, and you feel other people's energy, such as an empath.
Which we're going to talk about.
Yes, we're going to talk about empaths. But when you feel that, it's almost like you're being crushed. It's all coming at you at the same time. So people don't want to leave the house. I saw 3 clients yesterday out of 4, and every one of them had extreme anxiety. And I had to put pillows in front of them in order for them to be able to talk to me to cover their solar plexus. I don't give them the tools right away because I want them to see what it feels like to cover up.
So there's so many people out there, it's hard to believe, that are living with this anxiety.
Billions.
And that don't know it, and that don't know you to come and get help.
How could they? You know, right. I think to myself, I'm only one person. And I've been doing this for so long, one-on-one. And then I started to do some workshops mm-hmm. and some live streaming. And when Teresa went on the air, her book went into 34 countries. And that flipped it right back to me, because they couldn't reach her, and she's not traveling to Europe, so it all came back my way. And they looked at her website, and they could see I was the person who helped her with her spiritual gifts, or I was the one who helped her with her anxiety. So the floodgates opened. So I had to develop more tools, and they came after Teresa. Teresa was a different way, and I used to work on people with anxiety. I just didn't know the connection until Teresa. That's when all the bells Everything. And whistles went off for me, and I put the pieces of the puzzle together. So I don't even think she realizes the impact she had on what I do now with other people.
It's amazing. Even how I came to know you and meet you was through a friend who was having health issues, was having anxiety, mm-hmm. read about you in a book. And she called me and she goes, I think she would be a great guest for you. And it was just bizarre the day I was getting on the plane to my dad. And then you were there. And it was mm-hmm. there was just such a reason.
I love her, by the way.
I love her, too. You know who we're talking about.
Yes.
If you're listening, we love you. Mm-hmm. Okay. In your book, your new amazing book, The Gifts Beneath Your Anxiety, Simple Spiritual Tools to Find Peace, Awaken the Power Within, and Heal Your Life. PatLongo, 1111 at gmail.com or 631-498-6098, her website patlongo.net. At the beginning of the book, you start off talking about empath. What is an empath?
Well, an empath, I think we all have a certain amount of empathic abilities. It's people who feel other people's energy. Now, they may not realize they're feeling it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of part of what the anxiety comes from, but they pick up the emotions of other people, much like I was picking up physical pain. That was the way it worked for me. But other people, more people pick up emotions, but they think it's their own. But meanwhile, it's the person in the room or the other people in the room. So let's say you walk into your office, and before you walk in the door, you had a great night's sleep, you feel good, mm-hmm. you on the other side of the door, you've got 4 people. One person just had an argument with their spouse. Another person, happy as a lark. And then another one has a borderline depression. And maybe the next one is fighting a virus or something. But they all have their own energy and things going on. So an empath, a sensitive empath, will walk in that room and immediately feel it all at one time and not know what it is.
Okay.
They'll feel sick. They feel like they want to get away from everybody, or they want to go home, but they need to get away. They don't know what's causing these feelings. You could watch television and watch the news, and if you're a strong empath, you're going to get very emotional. And maybe you get very angry when you're around somebody who's extremely agitated. So it's, you're picking up the feelings, and you're, again, it's like a kindergarten teacher and a PhD. Everybody's got a different degree of sensitivity. If you're one of those people that were told you were too sensitive throughout your life, oh, you're just too sensitive. Oh, she's very sensitive. You know, she cries all the time. You have to pay attention to that, because mm-hmm. those are pretty strong empaths if it starts very young. And it does. I see children as young as 3.
Amazing.
And they have anxiety already. So it's happening. It's happening. It's almost like, as I said earlier, the floodgates opened, but they opened from the other side. And all these children that are coming into life now are super sensitive. It's almost like there's no boundaries anymore. They have ADD, they have ADHD, they have OCD, ODD, Tourette's, all manner, autism, all manner of things that are making them super sensitive. And educationally, the teachers aren't educated to know about that all these letters that are being attached to their names is really sensitive, exceptional children.
We need more people like you in this world for sure.
Clone me.
So and back to you. When you were getting everybody's pain, their neck pain or their sickness or what, how did you deal with that at first? That couldn't have been easy.
I learned how to protect myself right away. I had been taught protection in the class that I went to. It was a meditation. We would do it in the beginning of every class, and it was white light. And I just expanded on it when I made the next meditation. As my time went by, I added more things to it. But I found that surrounding myself in light and grounding myself more than anything, that's where the balance comes in. Once you ground yourself, and I can say ground, people won't know what I'm talking about, but I imagine cords coming out of my feet and my tailbone locking me into the earth. Now, it could be anchors, grappling hooks, lightning bolts, it doesn't matter, roots, whatever anybody chooses, it's an intention, it's a thought, because thoughts become things.
That's the one great thing you taught me.
Thoughts become things, they always do, good, bad, or indifferent. So people should really pay more attention to what they're putting out into the universe. But once I balanced myself, I didn't have a problem anymore. So as many clients as I see during the course of a week, I do not do any healing until I surround, ground, and shield myself. I do it immediately, within seconds. As soon as I put my hands on their shoulders, I do it. And the next one comes in, I do the same thing. And I always start with me first. Again, honoring myself. It's like being prepared, like a good Girl Scout.
Right. You have to. Yeah. You have to. Thoughts become things. One of the biggest things you taught me to manifest. Like what you put out there, you get back.
Absolutely. And listen, there's a lot of truisms. I call them truisms. I don't know if that's what they are, but thoughts become things is one of them. What you sow is what you reap. The boomerang effect. Fear is your worst enemy. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. I believe all of these things. What goes around does come around.
Yes.
All right. What you believe, you can achieve. So if people focus on those words, and I put them in my book, and everybody gets homework from me when they come to see me, and it's loud and clear. Thoughts become things. Fear is your worst enemy. Be careful what you put out into the universe, because it's going to be matched. That's how it works, like a polar opposite end of a magnet comes together. If you wake up in the morning and you're fearful, the universe is going to bring your fear to you. Now, on my way here, as you know, I was caught in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And according to my GPS, I was going to be late. And I sat calmly and I breathed and I put my thoughts out into the universe. Thank you for moving away whatever the problem is ahead. If someone is injured, thank you for keeping them safe and moving things out of the way so the traffic can move. And it was only probably maybe 10 minutes before I started to do that, because at first I panicked. That's the normal routine. I looked at the time and I said, oops, we're in trouble. And then I said, okay, start to breathe, start to project positive, and voila, within 2 minutes it opened up. And when it said I was going to be late, it now made me early. So it's the way it works.
It's amazing. How do you receive messages from the other side?
Well, it's funny. People always think I'm a medium. I don't call myself a medium because I technically do not speak to people who have passed. I have seen my husband. So that was interesting, and I don't usually do that either, but he passed 7.5 years ago, and he came to visit me. But when I'm sitting down with a client, I trust every word that comes out of my mouth. I know that your guides speak to you in your voice. they speak to you in your voice, not in a big booming male voice or a high-pitched female voice. Your thoughts, your random thoughts, your repetitive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about the repetitive ones, because we might call it a nagging thought that just keeps coming back and back and back. But those repetitive thoughts, when, especially when they feel like you're almost being pushed to either say something to somebody, to turn left instead of right, to go to a particular store at a particular time or make a phone call, that's your guidance system saying this is important. It's a push. You know, there's like a palpitation almost right. that goes with it. And you feel anxious. You do. You start to feel anxious. Right. But it's your guides. And they are trying to get your attention. So I don't even question what comes out of my mouth anymore. I really don't. Because it's like a constant flow. If a thought pops into my head, then I know I'm supposed to use it.
How do you shut it down?
Easily.
Yeah, you've learned after all these 25-something years.
I'm a person who, when my head hits the pillow, I'm out. Okay, I clock 7 hours every night. I usually stay up till about 1 o'clock in the morning.
You do?
Yeah, every night, sometimes 2. And I put down, if I'm at 1 o'clock, I look at my clock right before I get in bed, and I look at my phone, and I said, okay, it's 1 o'clock, set it for 8. I don't start until 9:30, so that gives me enough time to do what I have to do. But I must have those 7 hours sleep. I don't think about a thing. I don't stress over things. I don't overthink them. I just keep myself away from anything that is negative. Sometimes I'll use a song. And I might have said this on the last show, but I will rehearse a song that I don't know. I'll look up the lyrics on YouTube. And so, therefore, if my mind starts to wander when I hit the pillow because of a particular day or right. something that's going on, I'll only give it 5 minutes, and then I immediately switch to the song. I practice the song. By the time I get through by the time I get to the third chorus, I'm asleep because it means nothing to
yeah.
me.
You have to learn to shut it down. This is interesting that you talk about this in the book too. Soul's agreement.
Okay. Contracts.
Contracts. To live the challenge, if a disease, or in order to learn, in order to teach certain things. Can you talk about that in the book? Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. Again, clients come and they have all manner of problems that they've gone through, hurts and betrayals and so on and so forth throughout their lives, maybe abuse. And I try to help them understand that we are souls before we are human beings. We are adult souls. We're not a baby soul. We're adults. We've lived many lifetimes, and that's been my experience. So when we live these lifetimes, we hang out with the same soul group. So that would be your parents, your grandparents, siblings, partners, friends, and enemies. Okay? So you hang out with these people, and you make certain decisions. Okay, maybe your father, who happens to be abusive in this life, is going to say to you, I'm going to sacrifice my relationship with you in this lifetime so that you can grow and learn. This is Earth School. This is the toughest planet. This is where all the lessons are poured out and taught. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look at that situation and say, what did I learn from that abuse? Did I learn not to raise my voice or my hands to another human being? Then thank your parent. Thank your parent for showing you what you don't want in your life, what you don't want to be. It's really like that. And I mean, we also have a review when we get to the other side. And listen, I went to Catholic school, and basically you're taught, don't do this, don't do that. This is going to happen, and God's going to punish you and judge you, right. and so on and so forth. And that is not how I find it to be at all. It's really the opposite. You judge yourself. You have to go through a review of and feeling of every human being you have ever hurt and every human being that you've ever brought joy and love to. So you as a soul now are going through this review, and you have to really feel it. So you go through it, and then you weigh it out at the end. Okay, did I screw up, or did I accomplish more of what I wanted to do in this life? But if you really did screw up, it's like, okay, put some more on my plate for the next round. And you go through a more difficult challenge and journey.
In your next life.
Yes, absolutely.
It's amazing. We did talk about that a lot. Tell us about the four bodies and seven chakras. You take us through this in the book.
Okay. Well, the seven chakras are at the root. There's energy centers in your body. They're invisible. You can't see them. Medical professionals don't recognize them. Asian and Eastern medicine recognize these chakras. You'll find an acupuncturist and people that work with meridian lines and chakras. There are seven major ones. There are others outside the physical body, but the seven major ones in your body is at your tailbone, which is your root chakra. You have one at the solar plexus. It's called the spleen or the there's another name for it. I call it the spleen chakra, but that's between your pelvic bone and your navel. And then you have the solar plexus, which is between your navel and your rib cage. Mm-hmm. And then you have the heart chakra, which is at your heart, the throat chakra, obvious, at the throat. Your third eye, which is right between your brows, a little bit above. And then right at the top center of your head is your crown chakra. And these invisible spinning wheels have to stay clear. They have to stay balanced. And when they're muddy or over large or under small, usually some type of dis-ease is settling into your body. They have to be clear. So how do you clear them? People like me clear them, and many people that work with energy clear them. Certain meditations can clear them. But you have to get back in balance to get them cleared. I used to use the pendulum early on in my career, and I would hold a pendulum over people's chakras. I would have them lay on the floor, and I would hold it, and the pendulum would begin to spin. Sometimes it would vibrate right. Really, really strong, and other times it would spin really big, and other times it would stop. It wouldn't even move. So I knew to take my hands and to move around that chakra, and I would move my hands around it and clear the energy, and then put the pendulum back, and it would swing all the way around in a circle. So they're there. And some people, one of my siblings happens to be very sensitive. I didn't know this, but she laid down on the floor. I'm short, but standing up, I'm still, I've got my arm in the air. I've got over 5 feet there. And she could feel every move of that pendulum in her body.
Wow.
Almost like a pain.
Wow.
So they're there.
Pat's new book, it's called The Gifts Beneath Your Anxiety. It's a must read. Simple spiritual tools to find peace, awaken the power within, and heal your life. Pat Longo, 1111, that number, at gmail.com, 631-498-6098, patlongo.net. Check out her website. Okay, let's talk about our superpowers. Intention, imagination, and intuition.
Aha. Okay. Well, intention. I tell people all the time, a healer has to have intention. You must have the intention to want to help somebody. And that doesn't have to be somebody that's labeled as a healer. I'm talking right. about every person. If you have the intention and the compassion, add compassion to that superpower. Intention and compassion creates healing. That's all one actually needs. I can't explain it, but people come through my door all the time and their hands are hot. They hug me. I always hug them when they leave, and their hands are imprinted on my back, burning hot.
Oh, wow.
And they don't even know what's happening to them. I'll shake somebody's hand as I walk by, even at a wake. And I take steps back as I'm walking by. I'm like, oh my God, you have healing hands, because I can feel, I know what happened to me. And so many of us have this ability. It's incredible. Again, intention of Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote many, many books, and he's passed since, but an amazing, amazing spiritual guru, you can call him. And he taught about the power of intention and how your thoughts, again, become things. And when you focus on something, like I did even driving here, when you focus your intention in a certain way, mm-hmm. look out, because it's coming. But again, good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
I just prefer the good.
Yeah. What you put out there is what you get back. We have to remember that.
And intuition. How do I have them listed? I have them in three. You asked me. You said three in a row. I want to go in order of
imagination.
Oh, imagination. Okay. So here we go again with thoughts. You have imagination. All right. So what do I do when I surround and ground myself? I imagine it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it. I just have to think it. I always think of Glinda the Good Witch when I do the bubble that surrounds
her.
us. And it's a very easy visual.
Yes.
everybody's seen it. Well, most everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
So you've got this bubble and you think, you place it there. Well, when I ground, I think those cords right into the earth and I feel like a tree. Everybody knows what a tree looks like.
Yeah.
I did a little tiny meditation with a girl yesterday because I wanted her to understand that she could see, even though she didn't think she could. Everybody can. They just don't know it. So I said, all right, you're walking into your house. Look at your keys. You have your keys in your hands. Focus on the keys. What's on the keys? How many keys? Now you're at the door. Take a look at the door. Is the door in need of a repair? Does it have any, you know, is it nicely fresh and shiny? Has it got some scratch marks or need some paint? And then I had to walk through the door. Oh, how did you leave the house? Is the house in disrepair? Is everything picked up? Do you have any pets? Do you hear anybody? Is anybody home? Is the radio on? And I said, while you were out, you walked in, somebody came into your house and put a nice bowl of fruit in, on your counter. And I said, all your favorite fruits are in this bowl. I said, pick up an apple, examine it, look at it. What does it look like? How does it feel? Smell it. Is it a Macintosh? Is it this? Is it bruise? And then we went to another piece. I said, pick up a peach. Feel that skin. Is it ripe? Is it hard? Is it ready to eat? Smell it? So then we came to her favorite fruit. And I said, all right, now pick your favorite fruit. If it's one of those two, you can pick it up. If it's not, take another. And there are utensils right there in case you have to cut it. And so I had her examine it. And then I said, okay, now I want you to smell it and then take a bite. Well, when I'm finished with that, and it's just such a simple little exercise, she saw everything. Everything. She could tell me everything that went on. She had no idea. But you have an imagination.
Right.
And where does it go? If I said to you, go to your favorite beach, you could picture it.
Yes.
Your favorite fruit, you could picture it. So it's there for a reason. And it's using those thoughts to project them out and imagine what it is that you desire. Okay. I have a little tip. And I don't know if it's in the book, but it's called SPEC. Somebody else told it to me years ago in my class, and what it stands for is specify, be specific in your thoughts, project the visualization of what it is that you desire, expect it, and you will collect it. SPEC. Uh-huh. Specify, project, expect, and collect.
I like that a lot.
I love it.
I have a few things I'm going to do with that afterwards.
It's on my homework. I just don't recall if we put it in the book.
I don't think I remember it in the book. There's so many things in the books, but what I want to get to this because this really got to me. On page 105, searching your soul, letting go of the hurt. So we all have anxiety for one reason or another. We're all in pain because we lost a loved one or because something happened or because we lost a job or whatever. But you talk about Keith and his story. And he had a lot of loss in his life.
Yes, very early.
And he couldn't get past it. And he couldn't live his life because of it.
He had a tough time. And he's one of my favorite people. He really is. He came to me as a client and then became my attorney. And he's like a best friend. He texts me just about every day. How are you? What's your day like? And he's become, from the person I met, he has become so bubbly. I liken him to a champagne cork because it's almost like every time you see him, it pops out of his head and all these bubbles come out. And he's just so happy. He's so happy with his life now compared to the person that came to see me. And, you know, again, I explain all these things to people, why we have to go early, because that's part of our contract. It's part of our plan. We come into this life. And listen, I know that's hard. It's very hard, especially when people lose children. It's tough no matter. Look, your dad was in his 80s, but you still miss him terribly. My goodness. Well, he was in his 80s when I met him. My dad was 86, and you still miss them. You miss them every day. It doesn't matter whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a partner, a sibling. It's always, loss is always tough. But again, there are reasons that people come into life, and they have certain things that they have to accomplish. And again, somebody will say, well, my child didn't accomplish anything. Well, maybe that child was going to create, let's say the parents create a foundation after the child passes in the name of that child, or changes a law.
We talked about this last time with the Sandy Hook children, and you helped me to understand about those children.
Yes, they were here for a purpose. That whole town, as far as I'm concerned, the entire town signed on for what went on that day. Okay. And everybody has to learn from it. And I still get things on my Facebook page from different parents, you know, with different fun things that they're doing and, mm-hmm. and bills that they're trying to pass and so on and so forth. And it creates a consciousness. Mm-hmm. I had one child die in a drowning accident. Well, somebody, it was a boat accident. And the uncle went to legislature and managed to get some type of thing. You know, when you go to a party or a wedding, a kid's thing, and the DJs have these little things that glow in the dark, yes. necklaces. Well, something like that was put on boats, on Coast Guard boats. But the idea is to get it on all boats so that you can see at a certain time of the night. I'm not a boater, but obviously things change and you can't really see properly. So now everyone would be able to. But that's what he did as a result of the accident that took place that killed his niece. And another person lost their son to drowning. And these are students of mine. And there was no lifeguarding. The lifeguards in this particular place did not have any CPR knowledge.
Wow.
So they went and went out of state. Because they were on vacation when this happened, and they lobbied to change laws, and it's for everybody. It's not just
Know, but, look at John Walsh.
Yeah, John Walsh. Of
I
course,
guess
and
many
he's still
times.
Going.
Yes,
he's
still going for the love of his son Adam. I'll never forget that story as long as I live. So, with Keith's story, when we look at Keith's story, he shared his pain with us and his anxiety, and we're related to grief and the passing of his loved ones. And I just want to read this part because this part really stuck with me for me to help heal me. We are faced with finding a new way to live, to move through the world without the loved ones who mean so much to us. We may even think if we let go of the sadness, we will let go of the person we love and miss so much. We think if we love that and laugh again, perhaps this means that we love the person less. But as Keith knows, and as I'm coming to know, our loved ones in spirit will always be with us, and we honor them each and every day by embracing life and challenges we face with hope and love and joy, which is everything they would want for us. That
Absolutely.
Was, to me, so, once again, you came back into my life, and just reading, I must have read that so many times and sent it to my girlfriend who just lost her father, too, and it helped a lot.
Well, I can tell you, the little boy that I mentioned just now that drowned, his father would come to my class and he would say to me, Brian wouldn't want me to feel like this. He wouldn't want me to go through every day suffering and crying, you know, and it's truth. That certainly your child would never want you to do that. Your loved one, your father would never want you to feel so much pain and sadness. He's happy where he is right now. There is no pain. There is only joy. There's only light. There's only peace and love. And they can do anything they want.
Right. I hope he's at the casino doing his thing.
Absolutely.
So take us through your book. It's a must read, The Gifts Beyond Your Anxiety, Simple Spiritual Tools to Find Peace, Awaken the Power Within to Heal Your Life. PatLongo1111 at gmail.com, 631-498-6098. If you haven't experienced Pat, you haven't experienced life. There's so many things in this book that we can talk about. But take us through a healing session when someone comes to you.
Okay. That depends what it's for. I get some very interesting people. But we'll talk about a healing session to do with someone who's physically ill. I had someone recently come in with kidney cancer. And there's reasons for everything, again, even the parts of your body that get sick.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had bladder cancer, as did your husband.
Your
father.
Yes.
And it has a lot to do with things that they might be angry about in life. Okay? I'll use the word pissed off. Okay? Connected to the bladder. So things that they build up and hold on to. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but I certainly know where it came in my husband's life. And I looked up kidneys, and the kid in Louise Hay's book, she has a book called Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life, and it gives you the metaphysical reasons why you're sick and then gives you an affirmation to help you get better. So I used it for him, and I read what she said in the book, and it made perfect sense to him with issues that were going on in his life. Because I tell people with cancer, what is eating you up inside? That's what was said to my mother by another healer. What is eating you up inside? And she knew exactly what it was. And it was a 20-year-old thing. But it takes a long time to grow cancer. We all have cancer cells. Everybody does. But it's your emotions and how you handle things that fester or heal. Okay? Depends on your mindset,
right.
Truthfully. And nurses will tell you, people in the hospital that are much more positive and whatever, their chances of survival are much better
mm-hmm.
than somebody else that's angry. Or
you have to live and forgive.
Exactly. Live and forgive. That's a good one. Now, so somebody comes in. I say, all right, why are you here? Some of them don't know. They go, I don't know. My wife made me come.
Do they tell you beforehand or some?
I know nothing.
Okay.
My assistant looks at whatever she looks at. She makes the appointments. I know nothing. I don't know their name. They walk in the door. Hi, how are you? And we start from there. Tell me why you're here. And they'll start to tell me. And if they don't know, I'll say, all right, well, let's start physical. We'll start physical first. And they'll tell me if there's anything physical. Emotional, that usually opens up a can of worms.
Right.
Mental, most people aren't mentally ill, but if they're depressed, they're going to start talking about that. And then it's spiritual. So that might be the people that see things or feel things or hear things, and they're not quite sure what it is. So depending upon what they want, I start to address those situations and we talk about them. It takes me about an hour to go through. And again, it depends on the person's case.
Right.
If it's someone with severe abuse or molestation, it might take a little bit longer to help them understand and begin to forgive. So my job is to help them try to forgive the situation. I want people to understand that the past is the past. It's over. A millisecond ago is over. We can't bring it back.
Like
it's
yesterday
done.
Or 10 years from now.
Yes, or 40 years ago.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's over. All right? The future does not exist until we wake up in the morning. And God willing, we all wake up in the morning and maybe we have new tools to work with, but we've got a new day.
Right.
Worrying about the past takes your power away. It literally takes your power away. It hands over your power to the person who hurt you in the first place.
Interesting.
They don't care.
Right.
Okay. It has nothing to do with them. Forgiveness is for us. It's not for the people who hurt us. It's for us. All right. So that we don't get sick. Who's it going to hurt? Just you. Again, the person that hurt you,
they don't care.
They don't even think about it.
Right.
They did it. They're gone. They moved along. It's about what we do with it, how we respond to somebody else's bad behavior. So I impress this upon
mm-hmm.
people so I can teach them to forgive and let go, to release that pain. Or you said live and forgive, and that's the way it has to be done. So I give them instructions.
Right.
I give them letters to write. I tell them, write the letter, dear so-and-so, this is how you made me feel when. And then you put everything down you stuffed inside. And then I said, this is how you allowed yourself to feel. Take responsibility for how you react to somebody else's bad behavior and put it down. Now, if you're a child and say you've been abused in some way, under the age of puberty, it's not on you. It's on the adults in the situation. However, when you become older and you've interacted with peer groups and authority figures and other people's families, you know that yours may not be the norm and that other people live their lives differently. So if you continue to carry that victimization, you're going to be a victim over and over and over again in every circumstance in your life. So you have to learn. So I do a lot of teaching. And when you write those letters, and you have to do them by hand, when you write the letters, when you get to the bottom, you say, I thank you, I bless you, and I release you. And of course, people looking at me cross-eyed. And I said, listen, you're thanking them because they are your teachers. They teach you either what to do or what never to do. Your job is to learn it and move on. And then you don't have to repeat it again. Okay? So
amazing.
Then they got to burn it, tear it up, or shred it, whatever's safer in their environment. But the biggest lesson here, do not reread. If you reread that letter, which a lot of people do, they write journals and then they go back and reread. That is not what you can do, because the minute you do that, you download it right back into your hard drive. So it's do it and get rid of it. Pick the toughest person first and work your way through. Anybody that you think about or comes up in your life, any situation that was uncomfortable, that may cause fear, anger, sadness, hurt, those are the people you want to write the letters to. It's time to, they're still stuck in your energy field, so it's time to chop them out.
Very good advice. There's so much in this book that there's so many good stories. You talk about a lot of the clients that you met and that you have helped and you've healed. So many amazing things. What is like one of the craziest experiences you've had?
Oh, Lord.
There's probably been so many.
Yeah, there are many. Well, physically, I saw a baby who had something called ringed 22nd chromosome disease or disorder. And it's a genetic disorder, and I couldn't even begin to explain it. It's over 20 years ago that I met this Wow. little girl named Angelina. And she was only a spot over a year when her parents carried her in because she couldn't stand. She had no muscle tone. Her mouth was, her chin was dropped, her head was dropped, Oh, her wow. eyes were heavy. And bowel issues, throat issues, couldn't swallow. She was born with a genetic disease, so she had all kinds of interactions with therapists every day of the week. So they came to see me, and she'd already had one kidney removed because this particular chromosome caused all sorts of chaos in each person's body. It was different. So I couldn't talk to her, obviously. Right. The mom was holding her, and so I sat the mom in a chair, and she's holding the little girl over her shoulder, and I just caressed her from head to tailbone. I just caressed her body. And as I caressed her, within 10 minutes, she started to stand up, jump up and down on her mother's lap, throw her head back, and laugh hysterically. And it was amazing. I had a mother and father sitting there crying. They said she can't support her weight for more than 10 seconds. And she's jumping like a jumping bug, just like any other baby.
Oh my!
But I saw her three times. And each time I saw her, something else healed. More things happened. All of a sudden, her spine became straight, and now she could swallow. Now she goes to the bed. And then she was walking. By the third time I saw her, she was walking. So
it's amazing. And to some, God gave the gift of healing. Pat Longo, her new book, "The Gifts Beneath Your Anxiety: Simple Spiritual Tools to Find Peace, Awakening the Power Within to Heal Your Life." If you are struggling with spiritual-based anxiety, panic attacks, phobias, or other related symptoms, this book will fill you with guidance and simple tools to heal you. PatLongo1111 at gmail.com, 631-498-6098. It's never enough time. I'm blessed that you were here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
This show is brought to you in part by Soul, CBD infused water. Got Soul? And by Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Get lash extensions worth falling in love with.
And is copyrighted by What's Up With Wendy for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without What's Up With Wendy's consent is prohibited.
My show, What's Up With Wendy, is now a podcast. You can subscribe or download Apple Podcasts. They will roll out throughout the whole year and be available on Apple iTunes and Blog Talk Radio and many more. Thanks to all my amazing guests today. Have a wonderful weekend.
Follow Wendy on Facebook and Instagram at What's Up With Wendy and on Twitter at Wendy Loewy Sloan.
No, I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
Get lash extensions worth falling in love with. Longer, fuller lash extensions from Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Convenient, affordable, and fabulous. Look at me, I wear them. Their stylists will work with you to perfect the look you want. Their lashes are customized depending on the look you are seeking, from completely natural to dramatic to everything in between. Visit Amazing Lash Studio in Stamford, Connecticut. Book your appointment online at AmazingLashStudio.com, located in the Ridgeway Shopping Center, or call 203-635-2042. That's 203-635-2042.